to be here with all of you. And let me just start by saying you have a great church. Amen? Amen to that? Can we put our hands together for that? I had a video conference call with some of your leaders before we actually did the workshop yesterday. And then that kind of dragged on. I kind of continued to talk to some of the leaders after that. And then yesterday, it was a delight to be with the group that was there. And what we did yesterday was actually kind of cool. It was cool for me because every time I do this, I learn a lot. And what we kind of talked about and everything that we talked about is how to move in the continuum of cultural inclusion. How do we move ourselves along that continuum to get to be culturally agile so that we can navigate different cultures? Amen? And it was wonderful. And hey, I just increased your diversity today. So let's open up the Word of God. We're going to go into Luke chapter 10. Verse 25-37. And this is a scripture that's very familiar to most of us. We'll just read up to 29. And I don't know the culture of the church, if you want to stand up or if you want to just listen. But the Word of God reads, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. And he said, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this, and you will live.'" And then verse 29. "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, 'Jesus, and who is my neighbor?'" Lord, we are gathered here today, first and foremost, to lift your name up on high. And please speak to our hearts as we touch your word. May it instruct us. Amen. I love this passage, and it's a familiar passage to a lot of people. It's a story of the Good Samaritan. What's interesting about this passage is that this expert in the law, somebody that knows Jewish law, tests Jesus. And this is kind of like a theological debate where they discuss theology around stories and questions, and then they go back and forth, and then that's how they reach conclusions. And so this expert in the law asked Jesus, how do I gain eternal life? What do you read in Scripture? You're the expert in the law." And he says, and then he quotes. And what we did yesterday is we talked about the two great commandments and then the Great Commission. I think if a church does these two things well, they're going to reach the community and beyond. Amen? And so he tells him, he correctly discerns Scripture. He says, "Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus says, "Good, you've answered well. Do this and you will live." But then he comes back. Because see, this was a question that was being asked in the realm of theologians at that time, the experts of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Who is my neighbor? I think this question is important for us to ask and for them to ask at the time, because it clarified a lot of things. See, who your neighbor, if we determine who your neighbor is, we determine who we're obligated to love. And as Christians, it's more like who we are we are who we get to love. Amen? And so the expert in the law asks the question, and Jesus turns it around. And he gives the story, you know the story. A Jew is on a journey. He gets robbed. And as a Latino, reading that story, the first thing that I ask, oh, I hope those robbers are not Latinos. This is the time that we're living in, right? I really hope those robbers are not Latino. Please don't make our people look bad. But he gives them this story. And Jesus is an expert in this. This is an associate argument, if you will. By kind of painting a story and kind of knowing what was in his heart. And within the story, he kind of reveals what's in his heart. And so this Jew, it's a Jew, somebody like him. He gets robbed and left to die. Then a priest walks by and he walks around and ignores him. A Levite, a fellow Jew, walks by and ignores him. But then, I love this part, because he throws a monkey wrench. But then a Samaritan. And who were the Samaritans? Who were the Samaritans to the Jews? There was some animosity there. There was some strong dislike there. They were different from the Jews. Partly Jew, partly something else. And then he makes him the hero. And the Samaritan actually practices what the Jews should be practicing. So in this debate about, you know, what should we do? What does the law say? He kind of makes this Samaritan the hero of the story. I like this because I think what's going on in this story, and I'll illustrate it by this, if you could just turn a couple of slides, the picture of this book. My daughter loved this book, and every night when she was three, she always wanted me to read her this book. Maybe some of you know the story of this book. Mother bird left the nest, and there was an egg there. The egg hatches, the little baby bird falls out of the nest, and then, you know, exploring her world, and he's like, where's my mom? And then the bird goes around asking, are you my mother? Are you my mother? Goes to a dog, a cow, a crane, and, you know, just totally confused. Who the heck is my mother? And my daughter, every single time, says, Dad, that's silly. How could the bird not know who the mother is? I illustrate that because I think this expert in the law, he's in the same situation. Who is my neighbor? Who am I obligated to love? And I think the church sometimes falls into that. Who is my neighbor? Who am I obligated to love? And more than anything, who do I get to love? See, I think our culture has created a hierarchy of love, and we might be influenced. This is kind of like the picture of the pyramid. And way at the top, some of us, if we're Christian, we put God, amen. Then, you know, after that, we put family, maybe ourselves, family, and that happens, right? Like you look at a football game, and the star of the football, the MVP, or the star comes out on TV, and the first thing he says is, "Hi, Mom." So we have kind of like this pyramid of love, and then we have maybe acquaintances, maybe some friends, and then here in the In America, we might have our pets. Oh, I know some of you guys are dog kissers. You're a wonderful little pooch. But in this pyramid of love, where do the marginalized fall in? Where do different people fall in? See, for Jesus, and he's trying to instruct this expert in the law, is your neighbor is everybody that's around you. The actual word in Greek is the word plays on. And it's a neuter of the derivative of the word pelas, which means near. In Spanish, it's the word prójimo. Can you hear the word proximity in there? It means somebody that's near you. So why don't you turn to the person right next to you and say, "Good morning, neighbor." See, you just skipped 3 years of Greek. You even got some Spanish in there. I mean, but in Spanish, I love this word because if you study it a little bit more, it means somebody you have affinity to. So now bringing that into context, it's somebody that's near to you and somebody you should have affinity to. So anybody that's near you. And then Jesus tells a story, and he actually tells a story of a person in need. So especially the person that's in need is the person that needs to be shown love. So who are we showing love to? I know for the Jews, it was really difficult to even think about showing love to the Samaritans. And if we look down deep in our heart, we might have some people that we love less. And in God, there shouldn't be a pyramid. We should love all people all the same. We were talking about cold culture and hot climate culture yesterday. And I was talking about how my family or my parents, they're really hot climate people. They're really hospitable people. And anybody that comes into the house, I mean, they serve them just as well. And to the point where if it's a new person and it's somebody that doesn't know Jesus, well, they just lay out a spread. In one occasion, I was over and my dad did my favorite dish. It's called chile con carne. You know the term chile, right? You guys have those competitions out here? Favorite dish. They did this whole pot, and my dad invited me over, but then they had some people over. And then so I got there, I'm like excited, I'm gonna eat this. And so I sit down, and my mom serves this plate to the people that were there. And I'm like, "Oh, I'll take a plate too." And she's like, "Sorry, mijo, that was the last plate." I'm like, "What? Why didn't you serve me first? I'm your son." With God, there's no pyramid. There's no hierarchy of love. My parents, they love people that are outside of the Christian church. Those are the people that we should really be showing our love to. It could be that people that we show less love, maybe it's because they're different. Maybe they think different. Maybe they look different. But we really have to improve on that. I have a daughter. Her name is Victoria. You can show a picture of that. And there's my family. She has this chromosome disorder. And by the look of her, you know, she looks like a normal kid. But she has a cognitive level of a two-year-old. And in the beginning, when she was about one, she started getting seizures, curled up, seizure after seizure after seizure. We took her to the hospital, and that's when they diagnosed her with this condition. And then me and my wife look at each other and said, what are we going to do? And it was our family pediatrician. And she looks at us and says, you are going to love this kid just like you love your other two. Take it one day at a time. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm the minister. I'm the one that's supposed to be giving those answers. And I look at my wife and I said, she's right. There's no difference. And it's been hard. Every time we go to a restaurant, you get that look. And she acts up. When she gets stressed, she starts hitting. She starts crying. She throws a tantrum. And people don't understand that. And so we all take turns. Okay, it's your turn. Go walk Victoria. And we just love her. We love her. And it's no different than the way we love our other two. And just recently she started signing. I think it's God's grace just pouring out on us. And kind of that love returning back to us. Because now recently she just learned how to hug. And, you know, kind of in her own way, she tries to kiss and she goes. But what do we do with people that are different? You know, in this community, maybe it's a homogeneous community. I know it is because I looked at the demographics. we all get along. We're all alike. But guess what? Denver is changing. Or the greater Denver area. I was looking at these statistics, and I don't want to alarm you. I think I scared the group yesterday. But if you go to that slide, look at the Denver population. 1990 to 2017, that's in about 30 years, you've almost doubled in size, or the Denver area. And you guys are all like, well, that's why we live in Fort Collins. The white population, 54.4. The Denver Post in August 8, 2007 said the U.S. Announced Wednesday that Denver has crossed a cultural threshold. Sometime between 2005 and 2006, white non-Spanish Latino Hispanics residents become a minority. So I know you don't live in Denver, but Denver folks, welcome to the club. What's church going to look like in the future? What's Fort Collins going to look like in the future? See, that's why it was important for us to do the workshop yesterday, because I think God is preparing you for the wave of people. They're not the same, that are different, that have different rituals, have different cultural norms and practices. And as we were looking at yesterday, the hot climate and the cold climate are almost like opposites. So when somebody like that comes into our midst, are we going to judge them? Or are we going to love them? Are we just going to pour our love on them? Just like we do with our kids. The first church had a struggle with this. Everything was going well. God was adding to their number. Peter preaches. Thousands and thousands of people get saved. I mean, you know, it was a revival. People were getting healed. And then there's a conflict. And that conflict in Acts chapter 6 is over a cultural conflict. The widows, the Hellenistic widows, were not receiving a resource. It's not just the American church. It was the first church that dealt with this. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are all very hospitable and very loving. But I think we have to just prepare ourselves. Because in the workforce, maybe Fort Collins is homogeneous, but in the workforce, there's some diversity. People that are different. people that act different? What do we do with that? How do we love them? If you look at some more statistics, and this, the one about the rural and urban, 80% in 2010 are now living in urban areas. The rural population has decreased by 19.3%. Both urban and rural areas are becoming more diverse. And this is the U.S. Census. So it's coming. And it's coming to Fort Collins, and it's coming fast. I mean, if you look at it, in 30 years, you guys have grown like 100%, almost doubled in size. That's incredible. So what do we do? What do we do to love all? So I have some suggestions. First of all, recognize that everyone is made in the image of God. Everyone. The Imago Deo. Second, serve people. Serve people well. Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. And then lastly, love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is what we need. And if we do this, we will welcome the stranger. In that pyramid, is there anybody that you can think of that's way at the bottom? What can we do to love them just like we love ourselves? And this is God's heart, because in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb.'" If we see in the future, God is going to have all these people together, and we're all going to worship God. And it's not going to be a melting pot where everybody loses their identity, everybody looks the same, and everybody acts the same. No, everybody still has their identity. Every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. Hey, even Spanish is going to be up there. So what might God be doing in our own hearts? Can you think of those individuals that your parents have said, not for dinner, or don't marry that person? And it might just be somebody from our own homogeneous group. It might be people that are in a different social class. It might be people that think differently. What can the church do? I think the church has an awesome opportunity now, right now, to be the church of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Maybe you don't have the diversity here, but this is not where the church is you. And wherever you go, you take the church with you. And so we're called to love everyone. I wonder if we're still asking that question. And who is my neighbor? My neighbor is anybody that's around me. And especially the person that is in need. Can you think of some social groups that are in need? And I don't want to mention any groups because I might get myself into trouble. But think about it. Think of some groups that might be in need. What can we do to be of help for them? To put them on the top of the totem pole and say, "I love you, just as I love my mom, just as I love my dad, just as I love my brother." The Covenant Church has done an excellent job planting churches in suburban areas, and not so well in urban areas. And we're barely dabbling into that. We're going to start a church out here in Denver. And my friends here, Kaya and Tim, are going to be the pastors out in the right behind the Coors Field. So stand up. And I'd like you to pray for them. Because they're going to be in it. They're going to be reaching that community that's diverse, the community that thinks differently. A lot of millennials that don't want to live in the suburban areas and have moved back into urban areas. And so pray for them. And they may just be an outpost of God's love. So I want to just close in prayer and ask God to shed his love upon us, his unconditional love on us, and that we might be able to share that with others. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you, Father, that you're preparing this church to be a wonderful outpost of your love. And it has been in Fort Collins. But as things change, I pray, Father, that they may be the church that reaches out and reaches out to all those people groups that are marginalized, that are afraid to come into the church, that are different, that we may love them just as we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.